All right, so this is a traffic and safety meeting held on January 18th, 2017. Mr. Chairman?
Thanks, everybody, for coming. And before we get started, as John Posgay suggested, we want to acknowledge our former chairman, Mr. Hagensick, who recently passed away and was our chairman for several years and served the village in multiple capacities. I know he was acknowledged by the village board, but I think we want to do the same thing.
Agreed. And welcome our new chairperson as well.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm taking over after years of sitting in that chair over there where Jack Cleary sits. So, and also welcome Mr. Cleary as a new member of the board.
Welcome.
So I'd like to start by asking for a motion and a second to approve the minutes, and then if there's a second, we'll see if anybody has any changes or comments. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
And I'll second it then.
Any comments or changes to the minutes dated June 22, July 20th, or September 21st, 2016? All right. So we have one item on the agenda, and that is a request to install.
We need to take a vote.
Oh, yeah, let's vote on the minutes. can we vote on to approve the minutes? All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. Continue, John. Okay, the minutes are approved.
Probably should have caught that.
All right. So the one item on the agenda is the request for resident parking on the 1,000 block of Jackson. Before we turn it over to public comment, I did want to note that in the minutes of July 20th, this topic was discussed a little bit. One, at that meeting, there was a recommendation made on Mr. Valenti's motion to install a no parking zone 50 feet on both sides of Jackson Avenue on the north and south side of Augusta. Do you know if that's been done?
Yes.
Okay. And then also during that meeting, Mr. Osgay actually raised this question of resident only parking on your block. And it looks like you have some petitions. Mm-hmm. So we'll turn it over to any of you who want to comment, and then we'll have discussion and questions from the board. And go ahead and if you would state your name and where you live.
Yeah, my name is Nancy Fasano, and we live at 1009 Jackson, and we've lived here since 89. And the education building wasn't there when we moved in. It's at Monroe and Augusta, but whenever it was actually put up, all the residents were real concerned about parking on Jackson. And at the time, Concordia had said not to worry, they had parking available, there'd be no parking on Jackson, and the village board had said, okay, well, we're gonna go with that, but if there's a problem and we need to put up something later, we can. But actually, for I don't know how many years, nobody has parked on our street. But in the last few years, like today, there were 14 cars on our street.
3 years.
Last 3 years, yeah. We have trouble getting in and out of our driveway sometimes. We have trouble, obviously, with leaf pickup, with snow removal, and we've just sort of reached our breaking point. And everybody on the block agreed, let's enough with Concordia.
Do those petitions, signatures represent all the people on your block?
One house is empty.
One house is empty right now, which is owned by the Capellis, which is their guest house. That was the only house that didn't agree to this.
What about the second house on the other side? Aren't they doing that empty, or did they sign?
No, they signed.
Oh, okay.
Everybody signed except for the Capellis' second home, which is their guest home.
Right.
But everybody agreed wholeheartedly about how difficult it is to get in and out of their driveways with the parking from Concordia, and the students and teachers from Concordia. And I just want to preface this by saying Concordia has a huge parking garage, and they're parking on our street, and I concur with Nancy, it's very difficult.
And for the record, can we get your name?
Erin Rainey.
Rainey?
R-E-A-N-E.
And do you live on the block as well?
1015 Jackson Avenue.
Nancy, do you have anything more to add?
No, the only thing I do want to ask is I had been emailing back and forth with Jeff, and I just want to clarify one or two things. When you do a resident-only parking, we had asked for except holidays, because Jeff had said that that would include holidays. So if Christmas was during the week, then apparently guests couldn't park on our street, which I find that hard to believe that that's true. But
yeah, I think One thing we'll probably discuss here, but you know, one of the things that Jeff or you know the village prepared for us were some information about other areas around the village
okay.
that have similar restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty common and somewhat common in your area that the restrictions tend to be Monday through Friday,
right.
except holidays. You know, they're
okay.
not all that way, but they tend to be that way. Also, many of them are limited to one side of the street. And, you know, that's one thing that I wanted to raise with you, at least. And you know, part of the reason for that is because it's acknowledged in, you know, in our experience on the commission that resident-only restrictions can impose a hardship for people who live in the area. If they have nannies, if they have lawn care, if they have visitors, it would apply to those people. And so generally, as you look at the resident restrictions, the resident parking restrictions that have been imposed throughout the village, they tend to limit the parking to one side of the street, for example, the east side of the street. And so,
that would be our side.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, I think one thing that I would at least recommend that the board consider. I don't know if that was anything that you talked about with your neighbors.
No, most of the people we talked to wanted it on both sides because you still run into the problem. If it's on one side, like if you said it's the east side, that's where we are. We're the first house, and then we can't even get in and out of our driveway because they park right up sometimes.
Okay.
So I also talked to Jeff, is there something to keep people from parking so close because we can't even get in and out? And one of the other things we wanted to bring up was that, you know, there are sometimes exceptions. We just had our bathroom remodel, and we had a dumpster and two big vans in our driveway. We were doing it, but they still had helpers that came and worked with them. And they obviously had to park on the street. So, you know, what do we do then? Is there something, you know, a sign we could get in or something we could get from the village? You know, in the city, you actually buy little passes.
I think, Jeff, don't we provide the residents with X number of passes that they can use?
So there are two different zones, and that's why I sent that ordinance section. There's the resident, like a resident permit parking zone, and that is the instance where we would give out X number of passes per house on that block, and then you all are the only folks that are permitted to park there. In this particular case, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Fasano, it seemed like you all were looking for a resident-only zone that would allow any resident within the village to park on that particular street during the allotted hours. So that in that case, there would be no, proactively, there would be no permits or passes handed out. In an instance where there was a contractor or something like that, we can, on random occasions, give out temporary passes for instances such as that.
Do you need to give a pass, or is it enough for the resident to call the village and just say, hey, I have someone visiting on the street, or it really needs a pass?
The police department gives passes out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, could they do two-hour parking maximum like they do, you know, when you're going to the train, you can only park on this side of the street for 2 hours maximum?
Yeah, I mean, there are...
Because we find that these cars are there for 8 hours a day.
Well, I have a question. Okay, so you've got 2 hours on Thomas between Jackson and Monroe.
Right,
yes.
How long are those cars there?
Six to eight hours.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
because when I dropped my wife off this morning, they were there.
Right.
And I went by at 3 o'clock, and they were still there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And coming
so, so to answer your question,
yeah.
the answer is yes, probably. But is it going to work?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
And for 2 hours, they're still going to be blocking your driveway, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when I come out of the driveway, as Nancy can't do, because you don't have the driveway in front of you on the west
right.
side, I have to go back into the driveway across the street to get an angle to come out of my driveway.
Right.
I mean, these people are unbelievable. They're packed. You know, you'd think you were in a city parking lot. I mean, it's just one car after another, and it's been that way since I retired. Now, it's not me that's drawing these people. I'm
yeah.
sure. But the fact of the matter is, they are absolutely outrageous when it comes to parking, because they don't want to walk.
And I think you're going to find this not only on our street, but on the street at Augusta and south on Jackson,
yeah.
and on Thomas, west of
Jack.
Monroe. You're going to have, it's a whole little enclave there that are filled with cars now from Concordia.
Well, sure, it's a pretty long walk across campus. It's, what, two or three blocks across campus from the parking garage.
Yeah, the parking garage is the exact opposite corner.
Right. Yeah, to to the early childhood center.
Education,
And there's also parking.
We're not sure what the effect of the new dormitory is going to be. They're all, you know, I mean, some of them will live there, but they all have cars.
Sir, can we get your name?
Ross Fasano, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, great.
So basically, we just want our student back. We just want to be able to pull out of our driveway. You know, if we have somebody working our house coming over, that's basically what we want.
Okay.
Well, I drove around today. I was surprised at the difference in the restrictions.
Yes.
Some blocks, I'm at 822 William. I drove up William. There's nothing on our block, but the 900 block of William, which is directly south of campus, just has resident parking only. I don't believe that there's any time restriction. But then
according to this, between Iowa and Augusta?
Yeah.
According to this, it says 8 to 8,
oh,
Monday through Friday.
Okay, maybe it is. That there was a time restriction there. Some blocks, like the next block over, some blocks don't have a time restriction. Some just say resident only. And then some are the two-hour parking. So I sort of surveyed the area around Concordia, and it really is a hodgepodge. I was sort of surprised. Some are resident only, some are resident between hours, and the hours change. Some are 8 to 5, some are 8 to 8. And then some are two-hour parking. So it's a complete hodgepodge. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. They must have been put in block, sort of haphazardly over time.
And I
observation.
Do know that around Rosary,
Dominican.
Yeah.
They have the same thing. They have the same problem on Keystone and Forest. So they have the same problem as well.
I think we did resident parking on Keystone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. But on some of them, it is on both sides of the street, you know, to keep
some do.
One side clear. And basically, we just want the street back. And there used to be signs that said guest and resident parking only. I've been seeing those. I don't know if you took those away or not, but those were like the best. They used to have them on Monroe, but you don't have them anymore.
But how do you know who's a guest then?
Well, I think that's sort of up to us. I mean, we would know if it was. That's true.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything in our current ordinance that, and that's really what everything boils down to, is we can put whatever signage we want out there.
Right.
If it's not in the ordinance and backed by language that's been codified, then the police really can't enforce anything.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm very sympathetic to this request. I live on Bonnie Bray, the 900 block, and we have no parking Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, and I've always presumed it's because of the school there, and there's generally not many cars parked, but occasionally you'll see somebody park on the street for a little while. There are plenty of reasons why that would happen. On Sunday mornings, I've noticed over the past few months, I presume they're members of the Fellowship Church up at Harlem and Augusta, which doesn't appear to have any parking. They're all parking now on Bonnie Bray. And so I've experienced plenty of times of people parking right at the edge of my driveway, which is dangerous for them because I'm a terrible driver, or maybe actually extending into the mouth of my driveway. And so I've started leaving increasingly uncivil notes on their windshield saying, please wake up, you know, your front end's going to get demolished by my Yukon. But I've always wondered about why no parking when many streets have resident permit parking during the week. And so, I mean, I've not talked with anybody on the block, so I don't know what the general opinion is about it, whether there's a need or not, but we do kind of stand out. I've wondered why are we standing out with absolutely no parking 9 to 5,
meaning on your block?
On our side of the street, we're on the west side, absolutely no parking. I think on the east side, in the 800 block, there is like 2 hour parking.
I guess, you know, my comment would be one, you know, that's, that issue's slightly, you know, it's apart from what's on the agenda here, but,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if that's a hardship to your block for people to have just no parking as opposed to resident parking. But the idea of, so, you know, as Jeff mentioned, that there are generally two different types of resident parking. There's resident parking that's basically restricted to people who have a River Forest sticker, and then sometimes you have a permitted zone parking that tends to be around where the train stations are, where you have a lot of commuters, and so it's, that's limited generally to those areas. So I think what we're talking about here is resident only, and I'm guessing for you that it's probably just a historical, you know, in some ways accident. You know, I mean, it is true that sometimes, as you know, Mr. Valenti was pointing out, that we've tried to be a little more consistent in how we have, you know, restricted parking and stop signs, but it's not perfect, and there's some ad hoc nature of it based on, you know, the way the request comes in. And generally, as a commission, we make recommendations to the board, and we generally try to accommodate the request to people who live in the area.
We've delved into that area before on a few things, as you probably have noticed, on Augusta with the yield pedestrian crossing, yeah, signs, a stop sign on Jackson, and we know that there's a dormitory, I believe, coming, and I think it was me or one of the other commissioners that was saying, you know, that area is evolving, and we're going to have to evolve with it, whether people have parking in there or near their dormitory, you know, we'll see what happens. But I was in the area, I live in the area, I was over there today and yesterday checking it out. The congestion on your block seemed to be at Augusta. They're crowding on Augusta so they can be close to Augusta and then walk. But, you know, just to maybe simplify matters here, because we could talk about Bonnie Bray, we could talk about Hawthorne. You know, this conversation can get way off topic. But what I've gathered from what I've read, this is actually, I was reading on this, and what you've said is you have non-residents that are parking on your block that seem to be, appear to be students, and they're utilizing that because it's a block and a half from their section of the university, rather than two blocks from the parking garage, where I would imagine, do we know this, where I would imagine there's ample parking for the students at Concordia, but I don't know.
I also know from talking to people that have parked there, it is also people who work there. I talked to a girl recently who said she'd just been hired to work in the education building,
yeah,
and she said they told her to park on Jackson.
Really? Okay. All right, so the point I'm trying to get at is we have a specific one-block request on the paperwork here. I understand where you're coming from. I get it. On Monroe, they have no parking at all on the west side of the street. One block east of you on Monroe, they have no parking. And then on the east side of the street, which is,
right up the campus, yeah,
It's resident parking, 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, whatever that is. I didn't understand. I guess maybe the street is a little more narrow, so that if you're going to park on one side, you have to leave the other side empty. In this situation, we have Jackson, which I think I'm leaning towards, liking the idea of resident only parking. But do we need to? You're backing out of one driveway into another. It didn't seem like a super wide street. So do we do the same thing with Jackson? I don't know what your thoughts on this are, but do we do west side no parking,
yeah,
east side resident parking, or if we just do resident parking on either side, is that now gonna crowd up anyway, those are my thoughts.
Well, but I think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you said, would it interrupt? They could still park in their parking garage. And for us, I know that our street is not that wide, and I think if it was Park Avenue, it would be a different story. It's not Park. East or west, I think non-resident parking.
I think everybody would like it on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think
I didn't mean that we have resident parking on one side and then parking on the other. I was alluding to Monroe, which is no parking.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody wants that.
And then resident only parking. So
I'm sorry.
So anyway, then I guess that's where I'm at is resident-only parking, but do we also incorporate no parking? But it sounds like the street might be wide enough.
I'm sympathetic to your request also. From a time standpoint, does it make... I think it might make sense to put some time restriction in, whether it's Monday through Friday, and then do people park there at nighttime to go there, or is it primarily during the day?
It's like 6 or 7, but they come at 8 in the morning, so I think if they weren't allowed to park there from 8 to 4, then I think they'd find somewhere else to park, because I don't really think they want to park there.
I mean, it would seem to me, to try a less restrictive timing initially, and then if it doesn't work, you can come back and do something else. So maybe like you say, resident parking only Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. Does that sound reasonable, or 8 to 6? I don't know.
Because on game days, they will bring around the police. The police will come around and tie. Yeah, and say no parking here because of the football games that are going on.
Well, they won't have to do that. Right. Well, on a Saturday, I guess they would have to
Monday
do that.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, I think that would be.
Monroe Avenue is 8 to 8, Monday through Friday, excluding holidays, on the same stretch. I believe that's Augusta to Thomas, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
And then.
It tends to be 8 to 8, is more common.
Ashland.
I think
that was eventually even a longer sign saying excluding holidays. That was a sign that was like that long because it had all of the...
Right. I think we're going to have to... What we'll end up doing is kind of duplicating what we did around Dominican. Okay, so I'm not sure the exact time. I'm on Keystone 1000 block, so I'm just one block south of where the restrictions are. But that is... I think that's 8 to 5.
It says here 8 to 8, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Could be. I can't remember.
It says it's 8 to 8,
okay,
according to this.
Monroe is 8 to 8.
I think this 8 to 4, you come home from work at 5, you can park in front of your house.
Right.
Otherwise,
you can park.
Well, yeah, you still can. But, I mean, your guests can come over at 5, too. Yeah, I mean, their request was 8 to 4,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
And that's
what most people want.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have any?
And I think what's going to happen, though, is the people, it's going to turn into another, the Keystone problem, meaning Keystone put it in, they all went to Park. Park put it in, they all went over to, to Forest. So they're all going to move north.
Or south,
and our next meeting will be the 1100 block.
Oh, they're all going to move south of Augusta, let's be honest, because that's just across the street.
Right, exactly.
The 900 block. I mean, it's these 14 cars are going to just shift south of Augusta.
And around Dominican was piecemeal, but it finally got done, where it's not easy for people to park there, and I think this is just the first step around Concordia.
So we did 50 feet both north and south of Augusta on Jackson, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and what they're doing is crowding north of the 50-foot marker on Jackson. And there are no restrictions right now on Jackson south of Augusta, correct?
Correct.
North or south? Well,
north or south.
Because that was a street, when I said at the beginning, that they said they have parking, they didn't even put any on Jackson when they first put up that education building. But They said they would do it later.
We did the 50 feet south of Augusta, though, did we not?
We did do that.
So,
yeah.
So we have no parking zones on north and south side of Augusta.
Right. So it does push people at least beyond the 50 feet.
Because the site distance at the intersection was an issue.
It's a car route from what it was before. And the cars just pack right up the street. And, you know, Tuesday, it was really fun because there were like 18 cars on the street. We had the garbage trucks stuck in the middle of the street because they couldn't come to the side. They just stopped traffic, so the car is there.
So let me make, a suggestion, and that is maybe let's focus first on the request for the 1,000 block of Jackson. And I don't know if there's any interest in entertaining anything on the 900 block. My inclination would be to wait, as we usually do, and see if the residents on that block have an issue and, you know, address it then. But
Mr. Chairman, was anyone noticed on that 900 block? Were they given it, or was anyone noticed on
just the 1,000 block?
Yeah, so we
had hate to put a restriction in without having given the residents some notice.
I agree with that. So how about, does anybody else have comments about the 1,000 block? John?
Just one quick one, yeah. If I may. There's going to get to a point, or a distance, I should say, from Concordia where it will wither and die. We don't know where that is yet. But right now, we know Jackson on the 1000 block is fairly popular. Will it go to the 900 block, or will the other option
be more palatable?
Ease or necessity dictate that they go to probably where they're supposed to be to begin with, or
direction.
Spend the $20 for a parking sticker that allows them to park in that huge parking area that is a half a block away from you. So this is something that I would agree with you in your recommendation that maybe we deal with 1000 block and not try to fix everything when this may fix it and get it to where we need to be.
So,
but I'm
so
sure it's changing a lot over there.
I'd like to make a motion then to have resident-only parking Monday through Friday, 8 to 4.
Yeah. Right. So if we're going to at all follow the Roberts rules, we would second that and then see if there's any further discussion on that motion and then take a vote. So why don't we see if there's a second on Mr. Valenti's motion. Any discussion before we vote?
I have one quick thing. Keystone, Monroe. They're 8 to 8. We did it. I've been here 11 years now, I guess. Somebody did it, 8 to 8. Do we want, are we thinking about maybe keeping things the same, or do we want to go block by block and then go by the recommendations of the constituents, the people that live on that block, or do we want to try and keep something a little bit in line? And that's my only point. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm saying I'd throw that out there to you.
I could see at least one factor maybe cutting in favor of consistency is if the police are, you know, patrolling and are used to patrolling 8-8, but I don't know if it's consistent enough to justify that. But, I think that would be a reason to justify 8-8, because if the police are already enforcing 8-8, having a variety of times seems to add to the potential confusion. But what do they also say, that consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds or something like that?
I mean, you guys have driveways.
Yes, and that was going to be my next question, was that if somebody is coming for dinner, saying it's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, can we just call in the license plate to say, like you would do at 2 a.m., to say somebody's parking in front of who's staying in my home, this parking, this car is okay?
Well, can I just sort of dodge your question slightly and ask, so around Keystone and Dominican, they have, I think, a number of night events at there. Somebody asked you this before, but are you noticing a parking issue in the evening?
No.
And you know
that's
what?
That's why we thought 8 to 4.
You brought it up. That's exactly why it's 8 to 8. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because of the auditorium there at Dominican.
Right.
That's why it goes to 8 o'clock, because you've got tons of things going on.
Right, concerts.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Because then they park in front of my house.
So,
I mean,
so
we'd be happy with 8 to 4, 8 to 5, whatever.
Well, so Mr. Valenti's motion is for 8 to 4. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
Should we append that to say not including holidays?
Yes.
And I guess, what about Monday through Friday excluding holidays?
Yes, because like it's all, and that would be include, I assume, Christmas, Thanksgiving, any like Memorial Day. Because we have a lot of people park on our street on Memorial Day to go see the parade on Ashland, which is fine with us. You know, it's families and the kids, and that's great. So that would be like all of the holidays, like 4th of July. Is that what that includes?
Yeah.
I'm fine amending the motion.
Go ahead, Dave. So it'd be Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, excluding holidays?
Excluding holidays.
Just so we're all on the same page, we're basically talking about the request at hand, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're not changing
right
anything. We're basically looking at the request on the agenda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rick, I mean, you seconded it. Are you comfortable?
No. You seconded it.
Oh, sorry. Jack seconded it.
Sorry.
Right, so basically is the request that's on the agenda.
Yeah.
All right.
Jack, are you in agreement to second the amended?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, any other discussion on that? All right, should we vote? Do we vote one at a time, or do we just...
We haven't. I just kind of keep my eyes open, and you're usually pretty unanimous,
all right.
So it's easy.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No?
That's pretty easy.
Right. Carries. So the way this works is our commission, we make non-binding recommendations to the village board. And so as a result of our meeting, then the recommendation goes to the village board. I can't remember, Jeff, do they usually get to the next meeting or is it sometimes the following meeting?
It depends. We have a meeting on Monday, but I know the agenda is pretty tight already and our village administrator is going to be gone the next couple of days, so this might not make that next meeting. It might be 2 weeks after that.
So generally, so it would probably be at the next meeting 2 weeks from Monday, and at that point it comes up to the village board, and then the village board decides whether they're going to adopt it and then make it an ordinance.
Okay, and if we have somebody that's coming over to adjust a plumbing problem or something like that, do we need to call in the license plate, or if there's a cleaning woman or somebody that's coming to work on something on your home, do we need to call in, or are they usually given like a 2 or 3, you know?
Can they use your driveway?
Yeah, they can use my driveway, but, you know, sometimes there are people that, you know, if I need an electrician or something, you know, I guess.
I think this is one of those situations where, you know, it's the catch 22.
Exactly.
You want something,
right.
And there's always this little catch to it. So I don't know if there's anything formal in place, but, you know, just realize that it's now resident parking only.
Okay.
Your driveways might get some rubber marks on there.
On Keystone, the 1100 block, generally speaking, you know, and again, I don't know, the police, they don't bother lawn crews. They don't bother electricians and tradesmen and
right.
everything. But nannies or cleaning people can have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
know?
Their cars look like...
Car. Yeah, because they... Right. And one family in particular, they just had the car move over to Thomas, which then presented another problem with another one of our neighbors. But
that, it's going to happen, guys. Believe me.
Yes.
Thomas and Monroe, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Thomas... Did somebody mention earlier that that is a two-hour parking zone from Monroe to Jackson,
yes.
And we are not ticketing over
correct.
There? Was that? Did you
I mean, they're there.
Yeah, actually, I'd ask Jeff, did you have a
the
chance to
they're there.
Look
but
up the tickets?
No, no, and that's that would have to come from the police, so I didn't
okay,
have time
okay.
to get that from them.
But just one, I don't know if we can see you.
Yeah, Jeff can ask.
I mean, I can talk to the police department about that and just let them know to keep an eye on that area. I mean, it's codified. It's on all of our maps, so there's a two-hour parking
we're
zone there.
Bad guys with the you know, revenue, you know, raising with the red
you
lights.
You put a red light
stuff,
camera in?
You know, I mean.
Well, and so that is an example. So once this is, assuming that it's passed and you have your signage, and it might take people a little while to adjust, but if you find that people are ignoring the signage, then you can call the village, ask the police if they'd come by and
and patrol
thank
it.
You.
And,
okay.
And
thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah,
thank you
for coming in. Thank you.
Thanks.
Stay
take care.
Warm.
Try to stay awake.
Thank you.
any other business?
Thanks, sir.
Steve, how about a motion to adjourn?
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll suck it.
All right. Unanimous. All right. Thanks, everybody.
You did well.